Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's another Melchester Odyssey. And I have in my right hand the 19th of November 1983 issue of Roy of the Rovers. Oh, we're only a few weeks from Christmas. Sign,
one
please.
One more sleep till Christmas.
Sign, please, across the top is none other than Terry McDermott.
Oh, Big Mac and Cheese. Actually, that's not. Mallory McMenemy's Big Mac and Cheese. I don't know what you call Terry McDermott.
Terry Mac.
There he is.
Terry Mac.
After he signed for Newcastle United.
There he is. Yeah. That was Keegan's right-hand man then as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. He followed Double K everywhere he went.
It was a very much Roy Race Blatty Gray dynamic, wasn't it?
It really was, actually, yeah.
Speaking of which, Roy the Rovers, and at the beginning, on the front cover, we're looking at television highlights. We can tell that because the frames are in the shape of a television screen, slightly curved, rather than square. Roy Race, former boss of Melchester Rovers, had led Walford Rovers to a sensational victory over his old club, but Roy's personal performance had not been a runaway success. And we see the highlights of Roy lobbing the ball over Charlie Carter and it bouncing off the bar. That's unfair because that's the one that led to a goal. There was a tap in after that, wasn't there? So it's unfair to call that not a success. It's an assist. Oh, that Melchester girl has a charmed life, says one of the fans.
Watching this on telly, so how can the telly mics pick up on the specifics of that crowd chat?
I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah, no, that's fucking iffy, isn't it? Skew or whoever else is responsible for this.
Because it's all been realistic up till now. Oh, and there's a name on the advertising hoarded Sylvia. Was that the one we had the other week?
Yeah,
was it Sylvia?
So he's had another night with Sylvia. Sylvia, listen, I know I haven't called you in a couple of weeks. I know you're upset, but let me just pitch one last idea. Come over tonight, stop over, the usual deal. Yes, I will be wanting to do that thing again. Of course I will. I am prepared to name you again in next week's comic. No, you don't have to answer now. I will call you back in 20 minutes and give you time to have a little think about my proposal.
Yes, you can stay over, but you will have to leave at 6 a.m. because I do have a hard morning's drawing to do. you will have to get out of my house. No, you can't just hang around.
There will not be breakfast laid on. You'll have to get up, go and have a bath at home. You can't have a bath at mine. No, because apart from anything else, there's the hot water to think of. It's not cheap.
I've got one of them immersion heaters. It takes an hour to heat up before you can even have a bath. So you've got to put a bit of thought into it first.
You're best off getting two buses back to yours. Get home, run yourself a bath at home. And believe me, you will want to have a thorough wash after what I've got planned for you.
You're quite welcome to wipe yourself down at mine, but as for full bathing, that's not going to be available.
No, I mean, I'll provide a cloth. Of course I will. I'm not a monster. I will provide one dampened cloth.
I will put your name on the front cover this time, Sylvia, as opposed to on page 8 like last time.
So there you go.
So
food for thought. Food for thought. As I say, I will put the phone down now and I will call back and it's precisely 20 minutes for you to give me your answer. Unless, of course, you cannot wait to give me your answer, feel free to call back sooner.
But only if it's a yes.
Yeah, if it's a no, not interested. Goodbye, Sylvia.
there's a name on the front cover. And then more highlights. Roy's doing everything but score as he blasts it wide. And now he's even missed a penalty. Continued on colour pages inside. A domestic scene. And it's Roy himself who's watching it on his space age telly. With Penny bringing in a tray with a pot of tea, some cups. So Roy is back in the domestic bliss of his Melchester home. Of course, he's been living in Walford alone in a house that's been loaned to him by Harvey Rawson, an empty house. But this feels nice. He's got his tie on. He's got a shirt and tie on, but the tie has been
loosened. A great deal.
It's hanging low.
First two buttons undone.
Yeah, very much relaxing, Roy. Kind of a light brown tan kind of outfit that he's got on. Weird. So Penny comes in with the tray of tea, looks at the TV and says, "There's another. How on earth did you miss that one, Roy?" So she's critiquing his performance as he watches it and goes through the ordeal himself. "Search me, Penny," he says. "Ah, fuck knows. I haven't got a clue. Tried me hardest. Nothing's going right." Roy, on a weekend visit to Melchester, was watching the recorded highlights of the game with his wife, Penny. He looks drawn and haggard and broken. Doesn't look like a successful winning man. He says, "I've never missed so many chances before, not in one game." Penny says, "Maybe you were trying too hard to do well against your old club." "Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, of course I fucking was. Fucking obvious." Even the fucking pricks in the fucking audience were shouting that out at me.
"Do you know what, Pen? If you want to talk, that's fine. But let's steer clear of football. You understand nothing about my job or my business. So it's best we just steer clear of it, because if not, it's going to start getting right on me tits."
"I've come here for one reason and one reason only, and that is a hand job. Now, are you going to provide it, or have I got to drive back to Walford?"
"Or am I going to have to head down the feathers and see if any of the old flames are kicking about for a daytime hand job? You'd be surprised the number who do."
So, but she seems to know more than he thinks, because she says, "But that victory put Walford at the top of the First Division. As a manager, you can't seem to go wrong."
He
says, "Aye, if you were there, Penny, I'd be pretty happy with the way things are going. I'd probably be getting a hand job most days, maybe twice a day."
Now we cut something a bit special out in the garden.
Yes. Tell us what it is.
Well, young Roy has been allowed a bike. It's a BMX bike, not dissimilar to those ridden by both you and I, Andy, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mine was a rally burner. I can't remember what you had. Rally burner.
That's what I had as well, yeah. Was it the yellow and red one that you had?
No, mine was gold and black.
Oh.
Out of the Argos catalogue, with normal metal spokes, not the... I can't remember what they called the plastic. The plastic ones were better, weren't they? They were more coveted.
Yeah. Standard metal spokes were boring. I had standard metal spokes.
Yeah, so did I. The other ones were considered better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much bullshit surrounding BMXing, wasn't there? Like, it's all like, "Yeah, those ones are better for when you're doing tricks." It's like, none of us could do tricks.
Yeah, them grips you've got, they're no good.
Yeah, exactly. But all any of us did was ride them like normal bicycles, just in straight lines, effectively. But you all fucking had really technical discussions about, like, stunt nuts, grips, spokes, and which bike was better at doing this, that, or the other. But none of you fucking did any of that.
No.
I didn't know anyone who did anyway. It was all about just showing that you had a... It's a bit like we had last week, I think, on the pod, we had a drill chat and we were talking about the different sort of DIY things that we had and what we did with them and which ones we thought were best. And a very astute observer listener on Twitter rightly tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, Andy, listening to Sam talk about DIY today was like listening to David Cameron talk about what football club he supports. And I thought that was very funny and accurate. I had to take that on the chin. But it was a bit, the BMX chat was a bit like that as well. We all knew. It's all that, all the gear, but no idea. We all fucking knew. Yeah. I mean, I used to get BMX in magazines. Did you? And you read up on it.
I probably did now and again, yeah.
I read up on it. Oh, look, that's the best pedal you can get. And it's like, look, mate, it's all bullshit. As I recently admitted to, much to your amusement, I was at a stage where I had to get off my bike to lift it up the curb. Let alone fucking go off a fucking half pipe and flip the old thing around 360 degrees. Anyway.
The high curbs of London.
Yeah. Roy Jr.'s got a BMX and he has got a little sort of a rampette, a bump.
Yeah. It's like a little bridge that would go over a stream, isn't it?
And actually, yeah, it's very much
a humpback bridge.
It's very much kickstart stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That would be way beyond any of our budgets or imaginations.
I tell you what, if I'd had that, it wouldn't have fit. It's bigger than my back garden was. But like, if I had it anywhere, I'd have just ridden into that, and then just the front wheel would have hit it, and then I'd have just slowly toppled over onto my side and cried.
Maybe you'd admit that.
Probably cried. Get me, mum! I've crazed my elbow. Get me, mum!
So he's flying through the air.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him. Jump. We haven't seen him in a while. To be fair, they've kept him out of the comic because probably to protect him.
He's progressing well. Yeah, he's riding a bike without stabilizers.
Roy's looking at him out in the garden. Go fucking hell! What have you given him a bike for? I turned him back for 5 minutes. He can't ride that. Look at him. No, Roy, he's made a lot of progress. He hasn't even got fucking stabilizers. Why haven't you got him wearing his special helmet? No, Roy, he's really made a lot of progress. Yeah, they do say about some of these kids, they have an uncanny ability in certain niche areas. I wonder whether we could monetize that, or at least get him on Record Breakers or something.
Have you tried getting him to do some of that domino toppling? He might be really good at stacking them up.
I tell you what you want to do, for sure, is give him a pencil and paper and see if he can draw, like, Parliament from memory.
In spite of the fact he's never seen it in real life.
You never know. You never know. Just say to him, Parliament, he might just somehow have it in his head.
Say to him, Taj Mahal, see what he does.
I seen a lad on Nationwide last week, right? And I tell you what, I was blown away. It was like watching the fucking Great Stupendo.
I wonder, I will try to see if he can bend a spoon with his mind like that Yuri Geller fella.
I tell you what, Ben, I'm starting to think there's more to this lad than I thought. I think he might have magical gifts or something. You know, like the little green one in that new Star Wars film. He might be like that lad.
He might live till he's 900.
Ben, is he talking yet? Let me ask you something. Does he talk in normal sentences or does he come all back to front? You know, like bike ride I will, all that sort of stuff.
Does it talk like Metal Mickey?
That's a key sign that they've got special powers.
Is it words or is it all like beeps and bloops and stuff?
Yeah. Well, why don't you talk to him, Roy? He's only over there and he'd love to see you. No. I haven't got any time for that now. Maybe one day soon, but not just now, because I've got to get back to Walford. But you send him my best, right? And he's just about 200 yards away, right? No, I know that, Ben. I'll go. Don't make me feel more guilty than I am. How's the girl one? She seems to be getting on all right. What's that she's got? A Wendy house, is it? Yes, it's a Wendy house. Good. Right, all right, I've got to go. Send them both my best. And like I say, keep an eye on the boy one, yeah? I'm starting to have special thoughts about him. I think we can... I don't know, I'm thinking, could we send him on the road? Can we send him around the working man's clubs, for instance? I don't know. I tell you what, Ben, anyway. Here's another thing. See if he can do that thing where you play a tune on wine glasses. Get out the wine glass, not the best wine glasses, because he's liable to break some. Get out some of the cheap ones that we got from the petrol station, yeah, when we filled up the other week, right? And just wet the rims and then put them in front of him. Don't tell him what to do. Let's just see, because it might come naturally to him. When he sees them, instinct might take over. Because then we get him a little dinner suit, little dinner jacket and dicky bow, stick him in the working man's clubs. Why not?
He'll look well smart.
Yeah. Little lad. Everyone likes to see a little lad in a dinner jacket and a dicky bow, don't they?
And he drives off.
How's the baby one, Diana? Still cry a lot, does she? Yeah. Did you find out what the matter with her was while she was crying all the time? Oh, babies just cry, do they? Oh, all right.
She's only here now and again, Roy. We haven't seen her for months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully. You'll get her back when she's settled down a bit and stopped all that shit in herself and all that sort of stuff.
She come home.
Yeah.
And stay here all the time.
What, you got her a nursemaid, have you? Something like that? Oh, your mum's doing a lot of it. Oh, fair enough.
So, it says, with so many friends and relatives in Melchester, Penny had so far refused to make the move to Walford. And Roy Jr. is there doing his little jump on his humpback bridge.
Whee!
Melinda, I think it is, the other one. She's had two names, hasn't she? She got given a second name, a wrong name recently. She's playing with the Wendy house. And Penny's saying, it isn't just my friends, Roy. The twins have really settled down at their new school now. I'd hate to uproot them. Roy says, yeah, I know, it's a heck of a problem. Anyway, you have a good think about it while I go and have a game with the twins. And he does indeed go out and play in the garden. There's a little kick about with the football. Obviously, he'll win. And Penny's watching on, looking sad, thinking, if only I knew what to do for the best. And then Monday morning, Roy was just as confused as Penny. He drives off in his Lotus Elite, registration plate Roy 1. Subtle, low-key, and he's thinking as he drives off and waves at them, if I move back to Melchester, it will cause all sorts of problems as far as my job is concerned as player-manager. I've got to be constantly available.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Over the pitch, as Roy reported to Walford Stadium the following day, some admin bloke, whoever he is, says, the lads have beaten you to it today, Roy. They all arrive for training 10 minutes early. Roy says, well, I'll be. All hard at it. Beating Melchester has certainly lifted the pride and confidence of the whole club. I reckon Joe Bellamy's called this training session. Joe Bellamy is now the de facto leader of Walford. Roy's power is slipping away minute by minute. There's a couple of the players there as Roy takes to the training pitch. Hey, boss, what have you got lined up for us this morning? Full-scale practice match. I want to find out if I've recovered my goal-scoring touch.
I've arranged the whole day's training around me.
It's all about me.
Now, when I get the ball, I don't want any of you to attempt to tackle me. And you, goalkeeper, whatever your name is, I don't want you to attempt to... I want you to pretend to try and save it, but not actually try to save it. There's a very subtle difference. Took years for Fatty Morgan to fucking understand that. Morton, sorry.
There's advertising hoardings on the training pitch as well. Are they training? Are they training in the stadium? Are they training on the pitch? There's a couple of extra names there. David, which is David Skew, and Debbie's Store.
So yeah, but Debbie, he's put David Stay and Co. I don't know whether that's another code.
Someone is asking someone to stay, whether it's Debbie or Sylvia, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
A lot going on there. So Roy is on the edge of the box. He shouts, "Mine!" as the ball comes in. And one of his teammates says to him, "Greedy for the ball, eh? Here you are then." Come sussed. Go on then, fucking Hollywood. Score us a big goal. Go on. It might be Joe Bellamy even. I don't know, because it's quite sarcastic, whoever it is. He said, "But I can't see you ending your goal famine. Nick and Jerry have got you well covered." To which Roy says, "Who says so?" Spins, turns with the ball, volleys it right into the top corner. Training match, though, doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't count. Anyone can be great on the training ground. "Heck!" shouts someone. A few minutes later, another one. Cross comes in, Roy heads it into the corner. "He's done it again!" says either Nick or Jerry, I guess. And the other one, who isn't Nick or Jerry, but who is Nick or Jerry, says, "Great header, wrong-footed the lot of us. Well done, Mr. Manager, you superstar."
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell, yeah. "Feeling good, are you?"
I'm fucking smashing it today, lads.
"Let's ring one of the local teams, get them to come over. Behind closed doors, friendly. We'll fucking batter them. And then we'll all go to the pub."
Come on, I feel like humiliating someone.
After Roy had found the net a third time, he says, "Okay, lads, you can have the rest of their day off. I just wanted to find out if I could still hit the back of the net."
Have the rest. I guess of what? Off. I fucking can. Again and again and again. Use lock and fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm off for a celebration wank in the mirror.
"You lot have acted as my puppets and have made me feel good about myself again. Now, off your fuck for the rest of the day." And one of them says, "Don't worry, it was just one of those days against Melchester Racy." And onto the pitch strides Harvey Rawson, chairman of Walford, of course. "Very impressive, Roy. Got time for a little chat?" "All the time in the world, Harvey," says Roy.
"I couldn't give a fuck.
Just giving these cuds the day off.
Chat or don't chat. Makes no odds to me. Can't promise I'll listen."
"Can't promise I won't just wander off halfway through. I'm on top of the world.
Can't promise I won't nod off to sleep like KSI."
"The onus is on you to keep me interested and awake.
I'll give you 30 seconds. After that, I'll leave it up to the gods."
The gods of sleep. Oh, the greatest gods of all.
"Nature's soft nurse," as Shakespeare memorably put it.
KSI's final words as he drifted off. "I must succumb to nature's soft nurse." Oh, God. Harvey Rawson, the millionaire chairman of Walford, came straight to the point. "Oh, my God. I have another little theory about your failure to score against Melchester." What the fuck? You've got a theory? It was just, he didn't score. That was all that happened.
Fucking hell, I don't need your theory.
Well, it's coming. Listen to this. "In my opinion, it was," in bold, "psychological."
Oh, fucking hell.
Roy's thinking, oh, fuck, I've heard about this. They have this in Germany. Fucking head doctors. Head doctors trying to get footballers to play better. It's coming over here now.
He's lost his fucking marbles, this cunt. I'll indulge him for 5 minutes, though.
Let's see what he's got to say. I feel like a close-up's coming. There we have a close-up of Rawson's serious face. He goes on, "A mental block that prevents you from finding the killer instinct against the club that you grew up with. The club you built. I mean, you even missed a penalty, didn't you?
You daft cunt.
You fucking failure." Roy is a bit...
Oh, that... When I was at... Sorry, but that's from my... This is actually awful, right? But like when I was, okay. You know, my first job was at my first proper job in magazines was at Men's Health in the late 90s. And when I started there, it was quite, it wasn't like any of the other magazines I subsequently worked on. It was quite sort of formal and polite. Whereas most of like, you know, the other mags are all like sort of chaotic and mental. And they were a nice bunch. But the bloke who first sort of like took me under his wing, you know, in your first job, you're not sure what the hierarchies are. All you really want is you're young, you're inexperienced, you just want someone to be a mate. And there was this strange bloke called Greg, and he was the picture editor. Now, from my experience on magazines, picture editors are always mental. I don't mean that in a bad way. They're not like always bad people. Sometimes they're brilliantly talented and nice, but they are mad. I don't know what it is, but they're mad. And this bloke, right, his name was Greg. He was German, and he dressed it every day in the style of a 50s rocker. So he was quite small German guy. He was extremely camp, right? Extremely camp. And he wore denim jeans with big turn-ups, a huge bike chain, you know, like a big bike chain that goes down your leg. And there's he had a resplendent quiff, right? Like the Fonz, right? Usually double denim jacket, and all the rest of it, fancy kind of 50s style biker boots. And he was the picture editor, and he was very camp. And the other thing about him was he was a big West Ham fan, and he went to every West Ham game home and away. And so that on that basis, we became friends. And like it was a strange sort of a friendship, because I was the youngster in the office and he was this strange, so many different sort of almost contradictions. He was this massive West Ham fan, 50s rockabilly camp German.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And we got on really well. And just like talked about West Ham all the time. We kind of went for lunch practically every day with each other. And anyway, there was many eccentric things about him. But he could turn. People kept saying, oh, other people, as I got to know other people in the office, they'd go, oh, you're pretty good mates with Greg, aren't you? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd say, oh. And I'd go, why do you think that's weird? And they said, well, none of us have ever really been able to bond with him or get to know him. And then
you've been able to penetrate him.
Yeah. And I'd be like, right. Yeah, he doesn't come out for a beer much with the rest of us. And I said, well, you know, we're both West Ham fans, so that's sort of a thing. They go, yeah, because he really can turn. And I said, oh, I haven't seen that side of him at all. And I said, yeah, we've seen it before he started. He's got a temper on him. And I thought, I can't see that at all, right? And then, anyway, he got this assistant who was a really nice bloke called something like Rupert. And he was like his assistant picture editor who started after about 6 months. And I sat next to this bloke, Rupert, and he was really nice, but he was quite sort of a middle-class, jolly English bloke who was quite big. He was a big lad, sort of, by which I mean he was quite rotund, yeah?
Yeah.
And I really got
Tommy
on...
Tommy Morton.
Yeah, and I got on really well with him, right? And one day, this bloke, Greg, approached the desk, and he said, have you got that picture to Rupert? And Rupert said... Oh, shit, I don't know. In these days, it was before the photos were digital, so you still actually had slides that were sent in the post or by motorbike courier, right? And you had to file them very fastidiously and then send them back again to the agency when you were done. And I don't know, he couldn't find it. So I'm really sorry, Greg, I can't find that. I must have filed it in the wrong place. And without any build-up at all, this bloke, Greg, just went, you stupid fat cunt! And I was honestly so, I was shocked to my very fucking core. I couldn't believe it. I was like this.
Oh, he's turned. They said he would.
I couldn't believe my ears or my eyes. It was what you might call a standing start, Andy. There was no build-up. He just, and it wasn't that bad. He just lost one photo. He hadn't said, I've lost it for good. He'd go, I don't know where it is, I'll find it. And he just went, you stupid fat cunt! I was astounded. And the bloke, Rupert, just looked so... He was mortified, obviously. It was horrendous. It was nasty and horrendous, and it was bang out of order. And I don't think anyone picked him up on it, but there was a really funny... woman who I knew there, And she afterwards made that a recurring catchphrase. Where she would always just go out the ball, "You're stupid fat cunt!" If ever you did anything wrong, even on a minor level, she'd go, "Sam, do you know where my stapler is?" I go, "No." She'd go, "You're stupid fat cunt!"
And had Greg moved on by this point?
No, she'd say it out of earshot of him. But in the end, right. I left, and then I think he left. But then over the years, I would bump into him again at West Ham from time to time. And I'll tell you an interesting thing about him as well. At West Ham, when I saw him, I could never quite work out how he would fit in. This is back in the old days of Upton Park, right? Yeah. And I thought, he's a massive... I knew that he was proper West Ham, going home and away, right? Even though he's from Bavaria, I think. And I thought, I'm not sure how he fits in at West Ham. I'm interested to see who his mates are when I do bump into him on an away day or whatever. He was mates with all of the ICF. And I mean,
wow.
the proper old school lads, right?
And yeah.
I don't think he was a fighter himself, right? I don't think he ever threw a punch or anything like that. But it was like he'd come over from Germany, fanboyed the ICF, integrated himself somehow with them, and was always with them at every away day. It was really incongruous and strange.
Are you sure it wasn't Morrissey? He sounds like Morrissey.
It was very Matt. Yeah, that's a really good comparison. It was a very strange... It was like Morrissey, who I think used to occasionally wear ICF T-shirts on stage.
Yeah, Morrissey used to... Yeah, he used to hang around fucking boxing gyms and all that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he was a nice guy on the whole, and I was glad to be friends with him. But
you saw the darker side of
but
it.
But that, you stupid fat cunt, that's what reminded me of it then, is where he goes, "You missed the penalty, you fat, you stupid cunt."
Yeah. Yeah, you missed the penalty, didn't you? "You stupid fat cunt." And so they're having this conversation, they're walking around the perimeter of the pitch. Roy says, "I can't score against Melchester. Is that what you're saying?" Royce, like, what the fuck? Rawson says, "I'm saying you could never give everything to any other club, because deep inside you'll always be Roy of Melchester Rovers." And then there's the word Debbie behind the advertising hoarding. Roy says, "Maybe so, but I could never go back there, not while Sam Barlow was chairman of the Rovers. I know, because he interfered with your management of the team, but Barlow is no longer an obstacle," says Harvey Rawson. "What is happening here?" He says, "I heard this morning that he's resigned," bold letters, "from the Melchester board following some ugly scenes in the Rovers' dressing room after the Walford game." "What?" says Roy. "So I took the liberty of contacting the other Melchester directors." Fucking hell. It's like, how quickly can I offload fucking Roy Race here?
Fucking hell.
And Rawson then says, "If you want to go back, they'll welcome you with open arms, and I won't stand in your way. The choice is yours, Roy. You stupid fat cunt."
"And as for your stupid fat cunt best friend Blackie, fuck him, he's collateral damage. He'll have to stand down, Roy. Do you see?"
"You'll need to get some counselling or something for it, but that'll be fine." "He's a very malleable type. It'll all work
he's
out.
He's a stupid fat cunt, but he's your stupid fat cunt. Just as you are my stupid fat cunt, at least for the time being."
"Not for the next 30 minutes or so." Fucking hell, Sneak.
"Do you see, Roy? You and everyone else in my sphere are just puppets, and I am the evil Geppetto pulling the strings on your lives. Why, you may ask? Why, simply for my own amusement."
"I spent months and months trying to lure you here, and ever since you walked through the door, I've been trying to work out how to get rid of you again. It's all a game."
"And what do I gain from this game? Dominance, Roy. Sheer dominance. Dominance over the lives of little men like you. Pygmies."
"Pig men."
"Pygmies. Stupid fat cunt pygmy men."
"Now fuck off back to Melchester."
"Now fuck off, you fucking peasant.
Before I have you shot." So there we are.
Right, well, oh, you've given me a lot to think about there. Lots of digest.
I think you'll notice that I didn't actually fall asleep.
No, I must say, to be fair, you really held my attention. And I've got food for thought, to say the least. So well done for that.
It says, Wolford on Melchester, Roy makes his decision next week. I mean, what's it going to be? I wonder. Mark's out of 10. That's a big 10.
That's 10. One of the best of the year, I would say, from the story. Yeah, really great dramatic storyline.
Yeah.
My only thing is that when he inevitably goes back to Melchester, the one thing that I'm dreading is missing old Harvey Rawson, because I think he's a great... He's been a great addition.
Yeah. Joe Bellamy, we're going to have more of fucking Noel Baxter and his type, aren't we?
Back to all them boring cunts. Unless there's a new chairman that's taken over from Sam Barlow. We can look forward to that. Although I wouldn't be at all surprised. We don't usually speculate about what's going to happen next. If Roy makes one of the conditions of going back to Melchester, that he's not just manager, but also chairman.
He owns the club.
Therefore, I report only to myself. In the mirror.
I'm going to reach into my archive and get the next issue out straight away and find out what happens.
Oh.
So sorry about that.
Yeah, you can't wait, can you?
I'll send you any pictures that might be appropriate. That's it then from this one. We'll be back with the next episode next week. We'll find out what happens then. I'm sure we all know. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.